We are judged by what we finish, not by what we start. This is a thought for today with Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campbell, California. We are judged by what we finish, not by what we start. All of us are starters of hundreds and hundreds and wonderful things, and we just enjoy starting things. We enjoy going out and starting to sweep the sidewalk. And then somebody comes along and says, oh, look, the mail came. What? See what you got here. You put the broom down, you look at the mail, and you never pick the broom up again. And then you take the mail and said, I better get right on this. I better answer this here. This is important. So you go in the house to answer it, and then you show it to somebody else, and they say, okay, I'll do that for you, and I'll do that for you. And then you take your piece and you go and answer it. And then you forget that you laid the broom down in the middle of the driveway. And then you go on with other things, and you start out to the kitchen to get a glass of water. And the telephone rings, and you forget the glass of water, but you answer the telephone, and you say, now, I was going to go to the kitchen for something. I wonder what it was I was going to do. And so you go to the kitchen, say, now, let's see, if I walk to the kitchen, maybe I'll remember what it is I wanted to do while I walk to the kitchen. And so you walk to the kitchen, and you don't remember, but you think, oh, there's some fruit. I think I have some fruit. I hadn't thought of that. That sounds real good. So you get out the knife and take out an orange, and you take out a plate and get ready to peel the orange and get it all set, and the phone rings again. And so you pick up the phone, and since you can't be peeling and eating and talking at the same time, you talk and talk, and then they say, well, what about this? And you have to go to your office to get whatever it is they want, and then you remember that in the back of the pickup truck you left some bottles of something or other, and you wanted to bring them in. And so you say, okay, well, we'll see you later. And you hang up, and you go in the back of the truck, and you pick up that stuff that you wanted to bring in. I mean, this goes on ad infinitum, and this is not unusual. No. This is a standard way of doing things. We are not judged by what we finish. We are judged by what we finish, not by what we start. We start an infinite number of things. I see the walkway out to the road up on by the swimming pool here, and I noticed that there was sand on it. And there was sand on it for days and days and days. And then I decided, well, I was going to sweep it. And just the very day I decided to sweep it, it was swept. Somebody had gotten out there and swept it off. It looked just great. And then it rained. And the sand was back again, you know. And so it had to be swept again. But happily, somebody got up there and swept it again. But this is all good. However, we want to train ourselves to finish things. To finish things and to carry a little pad of paper along with us. And a pencil too, of course. And then as we are distracted, say, just a moment, then write down what you are doing, then go on with how your distraction if you must. And then you can always know what to come back to. But you may have gone to the refrigerator to get something out of the refrigerator, opened the door, the phone rang, you answered the phone, didn't close the refrigerator because you thought it was just going to be a second, and you'll be back at the refrigerator, and then somebody else called, and then you saw the car didn't have its brakes set and starts rolling down the hill, so you dash out after it, and you come back all full of breath, you know, and you sit down in the chair, and oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, what an exciting morning, you know, and then the next thing you know, something else comes up, and something else comes up, and then you walk by the kitchen and see the refrigerator open, and you say, who left that refrigerator open? My good, oh, it was me. I vaguely remember that I was in the process of doing something. So what we want to teach ourselves is to finish every little thing. If the phone stops ringing and in the time it takes you to close the refrigerator door and answer it, then so what? I was walking the path this morning, and I started on the path. It was pitch black. It was so black, I used a flashlight to start. And then my eyes got accustomed to the black, and then I could walk. But I walked all the way out to the Treeville waterfall area there. And on the way back, I was blessing this and blessing that and blessing the other thing. And I was blessing me. And I was thinking, you know, all this and all that is fun. And I thought to myself, Herb, what is so exciting about doing all those things? You know, why don't you stop and think, what do you really like to do? What do you really like to do? And do the other things matter? You know, what do you really like to do? What turns you on? What makes you happy? And why get yourself so involved in all the other things that don't make you happy? What makes you happy is writing. What makes you happy is speaking. Now, going to seminars, yeah, they're okay, you know. Going around the world and giving lectures here and there, it's okay. But what makes me happy and excited is talking anytime I can and writing anytime I can. So I really should apply myself more to writing. Now, I was saying to myself, now, why did I get this Macintosh? Yeah. That's in your mind. Why did I get this Macintosh computer? And then also get a nice new PC, you know, so I've got both. Now, why did I do that? The Macintosh is going to take a little learning curve, you know, because it's a little different from PC. Things are not where they are on a PC, so you got to learn where they are. And so I thought, I know why I'm doing this. Some people, as they pass maturity, they stop doing everything and die. Some people take up crossword puzzles and other things to encourage them to be active and interested and have their mind alert and have their body alert and have themselves awake and alert. And so I'm just having the Mac as a little learning curve, like a little crossword puzzle for me, you know, and figuring out all its little nuances. It won't be hurt while I'm doing this, but it'll be kind of fun. And every time I pick up the Mac book and read it, it sounds like a game, like fun. Every time I pick up a PC, it's business, which is good, you know, because business is good. But this is both fun and business. And it makes me think, gosh, do you know what you can do? Do you know, that's got everything on it. You don't have to go buy all those extra programs that you have to buy for a PC to do all of the, for instance, the work on the emails and things, stuff like that. And they have it all there. And they have the answers to every question you have because everybody's asked the question. And they've got it all right there. And all you have to do is just click it up, and it comes up real easy and really beautiful. Plus, the screen is lovely. It's a gorgeous screen. And that alone would entice one to enjoy it. But I put it off because other things took priority. And I put it off, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm now going to make it primary. And I am going to do everything I can on the Mac. It's the best way to learn it. And I will have no trouble in giving you anything I do on the Mac. Why? Why?
Because it is compatible.
It is compatible. Plus, I just email it to you. See? So, no problem. I just email it, and there's no problem in disks or floppy disks or zips or anything else. I just email it to you. And I can email it anywhere around the world. And they say you can have pictures in your email just like that, you know, and movies in your email like that, you know. People have to be able to take it off, of course. But it can be done. And says you can make up your own homepage, you know, and click 1, 2, 3, and then you just keep improving on it and adding to it with their schedule, their program. And they are so advanced, it's just a shame that Microsoft didn't have them to guide them onto the path of imagination. Microsoft is a good functional organizational thing. It does a good job. But it has no imagination. It has no, there's something missing there. Something missing. What would you say it is? But it's an interesting thing that it's missing. You know. So,
The playfulness.
Hey, that's a good word. Yeah, the playfulness. Microsoft is business, and this is playful. And they talk like that. I was talking about reading the Mac magazine and the PC magazine the other day. And the PC magazine is very good, instructional, business. But when I read the Mac magazine, you wanted to read the whole article because it was so playfully written. It was so, all of them, all of the stuff they have there. is so playfully written because it takes playful people to be there. In fact, if you get down to it and really are intelligent about this, which I hadn't been, you have to admit that Kip was a very playful person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he liked Mac so much. And he enjoyed it, and he did everything with Mac that he could because it was fun. And I never appreciated that. I always thought, gee, he's a businessman. He's serious, and he's got his mind on his business all the time. But he did. But he did it in that way. Now, many offices around the world use Mac. And many schools, most schools, yeah, teach their people Mac. Yeah. So the transition from Mac to PCs for schools is quite a little challenge. Although that's not as big a challenge as it is from PC to Mac. Because Mac uses a different type of language program. You don't have the things laid out like you do in PC. But again, we're judged by what we finish. I was tempted to push it aside a couple times, you know, and just forget it. And then, nope, it's not that it costs money, and it's not that it's a beautiful thing, but it's just that it keeps saying, come play with me. Come try me out. I got wonderful things to show you and wonderful techniques to do it, and come and do it. And you see, if I had just applied myself right in the beginning, I could now be a genius on it. So the genius is going to have to wait for another 10 minutes. You know? But it will be there. But my basic philosophy throughout life has been to finish what I started. Although I haven't always finished what I started, because I sometimes would go to another thing, to another thing, to another thing in the middle of the projects. Like when I was at Marquette University, I had only another semester to go to finish my bachelor, but I got into graduate school at the University of Chicago because I wrote all the documents and all the papers, and I got in. So, you know, at that time of life, you know, a semester, you know, half a year is a long time. So, zip, I went right down there. And did their courses, and then I went right on into the seminary without having any of the under totings, you know. And here I was in graduate school, you know, but I had all the certification, all of the grades and stuff that you needed to do it. Well, but the world looks at it and says, well, what have you finished? And of course they're right. What have you finished? Now, I have all the knowledge. I have all the experience, I have all the training, but I didn't finish the course. And that can be a difficult. I finished other courses, but those courses, they were my first ones, and they reminded me, hey, that's stupid not to finish it. It's stupid. So when I was in real estate, I went into everything in the real estate, took all their courses, took the law school course, and became adept in the law aspects of real estate, and then I went into everything. But you finish it because you're not doing it for anybody else. You're only doing it for yourself. And the degrees and certificates that you have are not for somebody else, even though other people look at it and say, my goodness, you know, all the certifications you have, but it's for yourself. Because if it's not for yourself, it does you no good, and you haven't finished it. You haven't finished what you started. Now, we might say, if you get married, finish what you start. Well, Ingeborg, what is a divorce?
It's a separation.
A divorce is the finishing what you started.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ingeborg, why don't you stay in college, in your bachelor level of college, all your life?
I like to progress.
You like to finish what you start.
Yeah.
So you finish it, you go on to the next one. And Sylvia, why were you so unhappy when you got your doctorate? What's next, huh?
Yeah.
What's next, you see? You want to continue with your training. You want to continue with your training. And but no, you wouldn't do the University of Philosophy, you know. You wouldn't do it. All you had to do, the book was there, all you had to do was write the test and write the quizzes and then answer them and then turn them in and get your degree. But no, you wouldn't do that, you know? And you could have done it in the relative absolute, and, you know, gone around, and you'd be fine. And I'm sure the questions would be ones that others could answer too, because you wouldn't make them so difficult for yourself that you found them difficult to answer. But you see, this is the wonderful thing. This is the wonderful thing. And Ellen tells me she didn't hear the first toad and the frog story. She heard the second one, but not the first one. And I think we should perhaps revive our toad and our frog story and have two of them, and then have a third one added also, that they're all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So people listen to all three of them at the same time, because that's finishing what we started. Because the impression a lot of people get is that I am not interested in people going away from their hometown, their home cities. Mm-hmm. That I'm not interested in people going to new communities, or that new people come in. But my point there was more that if you have an undergraduate school and you have graduate students coming to the undergraduate school, they're going to find it a snap. And they're going to make the undergraduates feel very insecure in their training, because the graduates already know it. So the undergraduate school is not the place for graduates, is it?
No.
And so when people who are just, what do you call them, perpetual students, they always want to be in school, they like going to the lower levels and taking over, because it's a snap. They just sit in there and twiddle their thumbs, so to speak. But finish what you start. And if you have finished it and you don't feel like going out and applying it, then start something new. If you have finished your psychiatry course and you don't feel like being a psychiatrist, then go and take a course in being a medical doctor, or go take a course in being a pottery, you know, a pottery class, learn how to make pottery or something. Because you don't have to go into whatever field you go into, but just finish your preparation so that you you made the decision not to go into it, not because you weren't prepared, but because you didn't. You want something else, and you're all perfectly free to go and do something else. Now, we talked about marriage, and we talked about divorce, and divorce is not finishing what you agreed to do in your marriage. Now, what would be a better way of wording the marriage agreement instead of "till death do us part"?
Until have enough of you.
Until we get tired of each other, or something like that, or till we want to.
Progress in our own life.
And sometimes being married to the same person mm-hmm. keeps you from progressing in your own life, because you get into a rut. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a truism, an unfortunate and a disgusting truism, but it's true. When a person retires, they can expect to die shortly. So if you want to die, retire. Now, retire means doing nothing. Retire doesn't mean getting yourself another job. It doesn't mean taking on the whole household and redesigning the house and fixing the yard and doing all that neat stuff, you know. Retire means sitting in your chair watching TV all day long and doing nothing, you know, being a bore to your wife. And when people retire, I'm charmed by reading Business Week magazine. It talks about the big professional people who are really quite good. And they retired 6 times. Mm-hmm. They retired from one business, and then they went into another business, perhaps more challenging than the one they were in. Mm-hmm. And then they went into another business, even more challenging than the one they just retired from. Because they like to be imaginative. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the women who was running for Attorney General, she was nominated, but she had to go through the approval, you know. And so she's a nice lady, competent, a lawyer of great quality, great feeling of compassion and empathy toward the people and toward the system. Well, somebody, maybe not just somebody, but a researcher who researched her world before she was officially nominated, officially approved, found out that this lady hired Mexican nationals, or probably Puerto Ricans, and that she paid them the minimum wage, but she didn't know they were not legally in this country. They were not legally. Here she is, going to be the Attorney General of the United States, officially requiring the laws to be carried out, and she had people working for her. Probably too late, two girls perhaps, you know, insignificant as it can be, but the principle. She had these two people working for her, paying them properly, doing everything, brought them from an employment agency where they should have been checked over as having been, you know, had their papers and so forth, but they were not legally in the country. And she hired them as a legal contract, you know, with minimum wage. It's, you know, so insignificant, but it's the principle. If you have one little leak in the dam, wow. Or if somebody came up and said, I won't tell, you know, I won't tell that you have these here, but and that way you can get me Attorney General. But just remember, you better toe the mark. That's not good. Anytime you ever don't finish what you start, you're going to be facing more than the Attorney General candidate faced. You're going to be facing yourself. Because all your life, you're going to feel dirty inside for not finishing what you started. So always finish what you start. That's all that it matters. But it's, have fun doing it. Now, if you are married and your marriage has reached the apex, you say to your husband and you say to your wife, sweetheart, I don't think we're getting any place, and I'm not really happy with this arrangement anymore. You have different goals, and I have different goals from what we had when we first got married, and I think that probably if we go our own way, it'd be much better. And she says, yes, I think that's right. I've been thinking about that too, but I didn't want to not finish what we started. And she said, and he said, boy, we finished what we started, and we just will be nowhere because we're not happy about it at all. And we're here to be happy. We're not here to be subject to rules. We're here to be subject to being happy. And if we have to rewrite the rules or change them in any way, but you're not rewriting the rules, are you? There is a rule called divorce, isn't there? There is a program called divorce, legally set up by the government, which allows you to divorce. In fact, the Bible had that too. Mm-hmm. And how did a man divorce his wife? He put her things out in the street. Mm-hmm. How did a woman divorce her husband? She put his things out in the street. But they still do that today in some areas, you know, where here the street's just littered with the man's items, you know. And that the wife said, and don't come in the house. I had the locks changed. You know? I don't ever want to see you again. I mean, they were kind of unhappy with each other. But we don't need to be unhappy with each other to be happy. We just make our decisions, follow our goals, and once we follow our goals, never go back. This was the toad and the frog. Never go back. Because you don't belong. You're a new person. You're a different person. If you get a divorce, you and your wife are totally different persons. She has her directions. He has his directions. Never go back. Because if you go back, you're not going to be happy. You may be friends, but friends have no rights over the other. But a husband can kill his wife and do anything he wants to her. And a wife can kill her husband and do anything she wants to him in Cambodia, you know. Or is it Cameroon, in Cameroon. But this isn't the Cameroon. And this isn't Rio de Janeiro. This is the United States of America, where we love until we change. You love your husband until you move away from him. You love your wife until you move away from
him. We still should love him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is, as long as you're together, you love each other, you find the good. When you, and even when you separate, you say, yep, I had the greatest wife, the greatest husband in the world, and we each decided to go our own way and do some new mysteries, you know. And that's great. But we're judged by what we finish, not what we start. Because people have started a lot of beautiful things, never finished them. And one of the greatest references for finishing something is old man Moses. He had quite a life. Quite a life. I think that would have been a rather difficult life to live and work on. Marvelous man. Jesus, too, had quite a life. All his life, he knew he was divine. He knew he was fabulous. He knew he was great. But everybody else treated him like a human being. And it was kind of tough. But not too tough. Because he sure went out in glory, you might say. He lived in glory. That's the big thing. Okay. We're judged by what we finish, so let's finish everything we start, or don't start it. Now, let's dwell on that for a minute. You mean you have to know what you want before you do something? You should. Let me have a taste of that toast. So you take a bite of that toast? No, no, no. That's not my thing. Not my thing. Now, you started it. You should eat the whole piece, shouldn't you? No. You're testing things. You're probating things, you know. And you're looking into things to see whether there's something that you want. And life's going to give you a lot of opportunities to look into things. Now, what are you going to do? Give up all these opportunities to look into things? Sylvia, let's go play some handball. I've never played handball. Well, here's how you do it. Come on, let's try it. Oh, I don't really think I'd like it. Come on, give her a try. So I get Sylvia down there, and we're playing handball. And I get tired. I say, okay, I've had it. Oh, no, I like this. She goes on and on and on, into the night, into the next day. She's just so begeistered with the handball stuff. She thinks this is just the greatest thing since Carter had pills, you know. And it is. It is. When you find some little thing that you almost reject even before you started, but you really like it, your world has changed. Now, what if she had never tested handball? Maybe soccer and tennis and golf and everything, but never handball. She would never realize that that's something that she really tunes into. What is the thing about handball that makes it so interesting? Anybody know? It's a personal sport where you use your hand to hit the ball. And you're in charge all the time. Now you can play singles or doubles or whatever, but you can play handball. Usually it's singles, you know, and you're out there hitting the ball against the wall. And you're never just sure how the ball is going to hit the wall and come back to you. But after a while, you learn that when you feel right about it, the ball is going to be where you want it. You got to feel right about it because you can't know. Because there's a ball up there and you're reaching it with your hand. You just got to feel right about it. And so if you always feel right about it, your ball will go right where you want it to be. That's the skill. The skill is feeling right about it. So feel right about things that you try out. And if you don't like it, stop. But pretty soon you'll find handball and you'll be hung up in it and you just love it. So enough for today. We had a good chat. We are judged by what we finish, not what we start. How about that? I love you.